WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into what now feels like a short week after a very, very late night on Sunday night. Close football game, could have gone either way. Sort of sounds like every week. Luke Jones joins us now. He's all of his Ravens training camp reports and everything going on in Owings Mills, brought to you by our friends at Royal Farms. Real fresh, real fast. Didn't happen fast, and, you know, wasn't the freshest football, I'd say, but a victory is a victory. There are no style points, and certainly the Ravens won't be getting any on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think you'd like to see some style points at some point, if I'm being totally honest. I'm not going to lie to you, Nestor. As I was sitting in the press box after the game, getting the sound up, which, you know, you can hear, of course, on AM 1570 at BaltimorePositive.com. I came across the locker room video of John Harbaugh addressing the team, and the quote that he said just made me feel a lot better, because he started talking about they won, they got the win, they continue to chase perfection, but they're winning in the process. But the quote that really resonated with me after watching whatever that was on Sunday night was, "We're winning." I don't know exactly what that was. I don't know how to describe it exactly. It really doesn't matter. We won. And he's right. And I look at the performance, and we need to begin with the defense, because as much as we've talked all year about Lamar Jackson putting on the superhero cape, I mean, he didn't even play last week. You know, so we saw last week, a couple big plays aside, the defense had played well. But this defense has been maligned, and they've given up a ton of big plays, and they missed a ton of tackles for a large chunk of the season. And what we saw on Sunday night, they did not miss many tackles, and they went up against the best rushing attack in the NFL without Calais Campbell up front, mind you, which dummies like me thought could be the absolute determining factor in the game, the swing factor in the game, quite possibly when he was deemed inactive. And they completely shut down Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt and a Browns rushing attack that was first in the league and averaging just under 160 yards per game. Impressive, impressive work. But it really does speak to just the latest way that this team found a way to win a football game, to play great defense. And then on top of that, and I'm going to give you one of those stats that sounds arbitrary, but then you let it marinate as far as what these numbers actually sound like. On Sunday night, the Ravens became the only team in the Super Bowl era. So this is going back to the mid to late 60s, right? To score fewer than 17 points. All right, we know that's not very good. To have fewer than 325 total yards. We know that's not very good. To throw at least four more interceptions than their opponent. We know that's terrible. And still win the game. Teams were 0, 275, and 1 in the Super Bowl era when they fulfilled those requirements. And to just add that to the list of a 66-yard field goal in Detroit and what Lamar did against Indianapolis.
Hang on a second. Let's go through those again. Let's just pretend we're having coffee today and yeah. I miss the game. Okay, I miss the game. Let's try this the hard way. I miss the game. Hey, Luke, give me some – Four interceptions? He threw four interceptions, right? What else happened, though?
Yeah, they scored fewer than 17 points. They had fewer than 325 total yards. They threw at least four more interceptions than their opponent. So that means you threw at least four interceptions. Well, those requirements,
that would be 0-2-75-1 or whatever that
yeah,
was.
Yeah, those are the stipulations that basically guarantee – and did guarantee up until Sunday night that you lose a football game in the Super Bowl era. So, those sound arbitrary when you just kind of look at it. And I didn't look that up myself, to be clear. That was credit stats for that. I'm not looking that up at 3 a.m. After, what was a real grind of a football game. But it just speaks once again to this team's ability, regardless of how ugly or unconventional or at times just plain bad it's looked, they find ways to win football games. And I don't know how you continue to quantify that or to use that in terms of trying to be predictive as far as what happens the rest of the year. I mean, you and I have talked about this so much, and now they're in the midst of this final stretch against tough opponents, or at least opponents that are 500 or better, but they keep finding ways to do it. And, you know, we can chalk it up to some in-game good fortune, and there's some of that, but they also find ways to win. And the other thing is they're hanging around and surviving in these games and waiting for, you know, basically wait out your opponent to do something dumb. And let's face it, the Browns did plenty of bad. Maybe the best compliment you can kind of use to sum up the night was the Ravens weren't the Browns, because think about what I just said, those stats that I just mentioned. The Browns were the team that were on the losing end when they intercepted four passes and they held a team to fewer than 17 points.
Let's talk about what went wrong for the Browns. Like they missed a field goal early that,
there you go,
you know, just right off the bat, took points off the board. Off the four turnovers, whatever the next possession was in each case, and turnovers that lead to points and all of that, usually four turnovers leads to 17 points, right? I mean, if you just take any four turnovers, you'd say, two touchdowns and a field goal, because momentum, where was it on the field that it happened? What time in the game did it happen? The Browns were equally as terrible. I mean, as much as we want to talk about the Ravens, and we spend a lot of time here dissecting our side, our offense, our defense. Boy, the Browns don't look like a playoff team. That's for sure.
No, not at all. They were terrible. And I mean, as much as you can point to certain elements of what happened Sunday night as the Ravens doing some terrible things at times, and specifically Lamar Jackson, we'll get to Lamar. But again, I want to focus in on the defense a little bit here, because they deserve their flowers after that performance on Sunday night. But yeah, they had 3 points off those four interceptions by Lamar Jackson. I mean, you're not beating anybody when you fail to capitalize on that. As much as you say you're not beating anyone when you turn it over four times, which usually is the case, you're certainly not going to beat anyone when you do nothing with those extra possessions. I mean, those are extra possessions of the football that your opponent awards you, or you know, and they made a couple good plays. So let's not say it's all just Lamar Jackson being bad in those instances, but they didn't do anything. You know, 3 points off four turnovers. I mean, that's crazy when you really think about it. Even some of the big plays that Cleveland did make in the passing game, and there were a couple, you look at where it was on the field, generally they made those plays early in drives where the Ravens still had a chance to, you know, do the whole bend but don't break thing, and they did a really nice job with that. But you said it, you know, if you want to get really simplistic about it, the difference in the game up until, okay, Justin Tucker makes the last field goal to go up by six was, well, that missed field goal at the beginning there. So, you know, it's a tie game otherwise. And so it really said a lot about both of these teams that you see so many flaws, so many things that didn't go well for both sides. But the Ravens found a way to make just enough plays and to hold on just long enough for the Browns to be the Browns, quite frankly. And yeah, I'm with you. And it hasn't been moving in a good direction for them for quite some time. I mean, you think back to when they blew out the Bengals several weeks back. They've been a mess ever since. I mean, even go back to what they did last week, barely beating the Lions. And, you know, I mean, the Ravens barely beat the Lions. I'm not going to harp on that too much. But their offense is just, you know, as well as they've run the ball, and you think, wow, that should lead to play action success and making plays in the passing game and kind of doing what the Ravens did 2 years ago with their historic rushing attack. They haven't had that. And I can't help but think, even though there were others who let Baker Mayfield down at points, you know, there were some drops there, some balls that I thought he delivered that were on target or at least a chance to make a play, and the guy didn't make a play.
I didn't think he stunk at all. Matter of fact, I give him high grades for...
Really?
Grades, but I felt like he delivered the ball. I mean, being injured and all that he was supposed to be and walking around limping like John Wayne and all that stuff, I didn't think he was there. I thought their running game was terrible, and I thought that's really a tribute to the front seven of the Ravens. Patrick Queen showed up. Josh Pine showed up. Names, you know, Matabike. I mean, just... We saw defensive football. Brandon Williams, I mean, was on a milk carton before Sunday night. So difference makers, that was the difference. I mean, you had to stop their running game, and they did. And even though they turned the ball over four times, I was thinking of all the weird stuff. I always think of Anthony Mitchell. He's my Facebook friend, and his kid's a hell of a football player down in the South right now as well. You'll be hearing about him. But I think about block kicks, missed field goal, you know, all of those weird things in that Tennessee game 20 years, 21 years ago now, that I actually think about it. Those are the things that turn games, lies, damn lies in statistics, right?
No question about it. And it's funny you mentioned the past. As I was driving home early Monday morning, late Sunday night, early Monday morning, I kind of thought, wow, that felt like a Kyle Bowler era kind of win. Let's call a spade. I mean, I know you love Kyle. Good guy, you know, from a personal standpoint and everything, but was not a very good quarterback. And you think back to some of those performances where quarterback play in that era could be downright inept. But you had Ray Lewis and Ed Reed coming to save the day, or maybe a Terrell Suggs or whoever. But I mean, you just said it. It begins and ends with the idea that they held Nick Chubb to 16 yards on 8 carries. They held Kareem Hunt to 20 yards on 7 carries. I mean, you not just contain, you know, it would have been one thing if the Ravens held the Browns to 95 rushing yards or 105 rushing yards. I mean, look at the Ravens rushing attack on Sunday night. It's not as though they got great contributions from Devontae Freeman and Latavius Murray in terms of yards per carry. You know, those guys, I think the longest run they had from a running back all night was what, 8 yards. You know, Devin Duvernay had the longest run from someone not named Lamar Jackson, but the Browns didn't even have anything that was functional. You know, we talked about this last week with the Browns game or the Bears win, where you and I kind of volleyed back and forth about the Ravens running game. And you know, I said it was at least good enough that it helped keep them in third and manageable. It wasn't impressive statistically, but it gave them enough. The Browns rushing attack gave them nothing. And that's a major credit to this defensive line stepping up when Calais Campbell was out. And again, something I thought was going to be a massive loss for them. And look, Calais Campbell's a great player, but guys stepped up and played at a very high level. And it was great to see Brandon Williams back and looking a little bit more like the Brandon Williams of a few years back. Maybe not the guy. And who knows? Maybe that shoulder was bothering him in some of those performances leading into the bye week. But you know, we hadn't seen the same Brandon Williams necessarily, but he was good. And Justin Madubuike was really good. And Justin Ellis, who John Harbaugh singled out after the game. And I know I asked about him a couple weeks ago, and Wink Martindale said the same thing, how he's quietly played at a really high level for them. And they've needed that with Brandon Williams being out. So you got that. You got this play at the second level. You mentioned Patrick Queen, Josh Bynes, Christian Welch got some snaps, which I thought was surprising. I'll be interesting to hear what John Harbaugh has to say about that as we, you know, start looking ahead to Pittsburgh and what that could mean. But you know, Tyus Bowser was outstanding. But really, when you shut down a run, a rushing attack, a ground game like the Browns, you do that. That's a collective effort. I mean, for those wide zone plays and those plays to the edge, you have to be so good with your run fits, with your angles, your ability to shed blocks, and that's every level. You know, you need the secondary to tackle in those instances. And as much as we've harped on shoddy tackling over the course of the season, we didn't see much of that on Sunday night. We saw good tackling. We saw a number of plays where one broken tackle might have meant a first down on a third down play. And there just wasn't very much of that.
Games are different. I watched Pittsburgh and Cincinnati earlier in the day. And even though it was a blowout, it was terrible. They hit each other in this division, right? Like when you talk about tackling, gang tackling, piling on, like late flags happening. And that's when these division games happen. And part of that is you don't want Chubb running you over and have that be part of, you get thrown to the ground and 50 yards later, you know, Chuck Clark's chasing him.
Yeah. And there's more of a familiarity, right? I think for as much as maybe we talked about the Bengals defense catching the Ravens by surprise earlier this season after, I mean, Lamar Jackson and this era of Ravens football had completely not just beaten them, but embarrassed them in recent meetings. For the most part, there are no secrets between these teams in the division. So it really does come down to, I mean, not just effort necessarily, but comes down to tackling, physicality, that want to, as Buck Showalter used to always call it. And you have a little bit more of that. And yeah, there is a certain amount of pride that maybe isn't the case in every division. I mean, you don't hear people talk about every division in this vein, but you do hear people talk about the AFC North in that light. When you look at what Pittsburgh has been over the last two decades, when you look at what the Ravens have been over the last two decades, Cincinnati's had their moments, even if no moments in January per se. And then the Browns have, let's face it, have kind of been the Browns. And this has kind of been their MO. Last year notwithstanding, they get to a place where they've got a chance to kind of show that they're different this time around. And well, they weren't on Sunday night. And you know, they were the healthier team going into the game, as much as you feel for Jack Conklin, which, you know, talking about a torn patella tendon, the early indications, they lost some other guys over the course of the night. But that was a Browns team as healthy as they had been since week one. And when you compare that to where the Ravens are, not just season long, but on a week to week basis, continuing to deal with injuries and absences. Again, it's to me that sheds some light on what's underneath the hood. And I think the Ravens proved to be the superior team there. And, you know, I couldn't help but feel that Sunday was a little bit of a separator type Sunday for the AFC North. And you look at what Cincinnati did against Pittsburgh, and not just beating them, but beating the you know what out of them over the course of 60 minutes. And you look at what the Ravens did. Now, can change in a week or two. I mean, the Ravens go to Cleveland. When the Browns will be coming off their bye week. Maybe things will be different that time around. But it's feeling more and more like, I feel like we know at this point the Ravens are a good team. How good, we can debate. I think at this point, Cincinnati, while they're certainly inexperienced and hasn't necessarily shown up every week, it's hard to argue with the record and say, hey, give them credit. You know, the Bengals are looking like they're a legitimate playoff caliber contender. Cleveland, you know, I mean, they've had a couple really impressive performances this season, but they've also had a lot of lousy performances. And, you know, you kind of put Pittsburgh into that same group. You know, even the Steelers got on that winning streak, but still didn't look great every week. So, you know, to me, the cream is starting to rise to the top. Now, that does not mean the Browns and the Steelers will not knock off the Bengals and the Ravens and a couple different possibilities there. But it's really feeling more and more like, you know, the Ravens and the Bengals. And that just makes you look ahead to that day after Christmas, the rematch in Cincinnati, and how potentially huge that game could be. Assuming these teams take care of business these next few weeks.
Dude, of all the games that I like, don't buy a flight for in the beginning of the year, Cincinnati the day after Christmas. All of our WNSD coverage brought to you by friends at the Maryland Lottery. We are going to be letting ourselves play on Friday. We're going to be in Cockeysville at Pappas, very favorite crab cake of many, many people, including Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global. We're going to be joined by him. Also, my friends at Liberty Pure, Doug Workman's up that way as well. If your water's not good, well water, want to find out about your water, you need a plumber. If you just need a plumber, our friends at Liberty Pure Solutions can solve that problem for you. Now, on Friday up at Pappas, going to be joined by Mike Bordick. I'm going to talk some baseball with him. Also, Leonard Raskin will be with us talking some money, and he gave me some cool advice. We had a great conversation about renting versus owning last week. And Jim Reese from Offa Kerman, great buddy of mine. I saw him pop up on Triple D the other night with Guy Fieri downtown. So Jim Reese is going to join us on Friday. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. Let yourself play. And I would be remiss if I did not give a ton of love to our friends at Wise Markets this week. Giving Tuesday is Tuesday. Make sure you're giving. What the hell? Giving Wednesday, giving Thursday, giving Friday, give all week long. And then certainly Luke and I are going to be giving on Sunday as we get up early in the day and head up to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers, yins and that, and all that's going on all week long. It is Pittsburgh week around here. The Ravens are in first place. The Ravens are the number one seed in the AFC North. And I don't know what that was, and it doesn't even matter, according to John Harbaugh. You can hear all of our audio out in our audio vault at Baltimore Positive. Luke and I are going to be talking a lot of football here as the week gets going. We've got some great, great guests this week as we head up to Pittsburgh. We always have great Steelers guests, but I'm mixing it up here a little bit as well. Harford County Executive Barry Glassman joined us up at Conrad's. God, what a great time I had at Conrad's. Incredible food. I had the crab hash up in Abingdon. Make sure you stop in the parking lot up there as you get off 924 and say hello to Andrea and Tony and our friends at Conrad's Crabs. Great guest, as well as my wife and Eric Sauer coming on for Giving Tuesday. Serendipity was with us on Black Friday talking about There Goes My Hero and the role of German donors in saving their lives. The Ravens don't need any saviors right now. They feel like they just have good fortune and the wind at their backs at this point as we head to Pittsburgh. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive, and Raven victories.